Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to praise and to worship you, to come together as a community of believers and lift up your holy name. Father, we want to lift up our brother this morning who's in the hospital. Father, we ask that you just watch over him. You be with the doctors and nurses as they run the test this morning. Father, may they find nothing there, and may they find peace within him. Father, we know that you are the great physician, and you can do things that we can't always understand. And Father, even the bad things in life you can use for your good. Father, we trust this. Father, watch over the church as we seek out what it looks like to have an associate pastor. Give us wisdom and guidance on who that person is to be. Father, I ask that you be with each different group that is meeting throughout the months. Be with the kids that are coming into Awana. Be with our youth group. Father, we thank you for all these different ministries and things that are happening inside of our church. And Father, we thank you for each volunteer as well. Father, we thank you for the offering and for the faithfulness of the people. May it be used to bring you glory and not us glory. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand and worship this morning.
Come have strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away.
For that, Hosanna. Man, this is my favorite part of the day, if you guys don't know. I absolutely love this moment in our service. And for those who are new to us, we have these little cards out there that are called My Three. And the idea is who are the three people in your life that need Jesus? Who are those three people that you need to be lifting up each and every day to connect with Jesus? And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take this, place it somewhere where you see it every day, and to pray for those three each and every day. And then on Sunday mornings, we gather together as a community of believers, and we lift our three up for Jesus. And you know what's happened because of that? We have had people who've come to know Jesus that hadn't before. We have people come to know Jesus that said they would never do such a thing, because their hearts and minds were tuned into God, because we kept throwing it at the throne room of God and saying, Lord, they need him. And so we are a church that believes in the power of prayer, and we have seen God work through prayer in so many times. So at this moment, what I want you guys to do is to pray for your three, and I will pray for all of you as we go into prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. Father, we all have these people in our lives that need you. We all have these people in our lives who are struggling and just can't seem to find a way out. But Father, we know that you have a plan for them. Father, we ask that you just open their hearts and minds that they may be able to see you, that they may be able to hear you. Father, I ask that you give us the courage and the wisdom to stand up and speak when we need to speak, and that we may hold our tongue when we need to hold our tongue. That we may be an example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we may be faithful in sharing who you are. You've called us to be the light in the world, a city on a hill. Father, give us that courage. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship this morning.
Because of your love, we're forgiven.
Lord, my life is an empty cup. Here's my heart, would you fill me up? I'm face to the ground, forsaking my pride, leaving my will, my burdens behind. And all I want, and all I need is just to be with you, just to I have come to the end of me, and there's nothing I have to bring, but you said I belong, you say I am yours, nothing compares to knowing you more. And all I want, and all I need is just
for sure, I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a
Hallelujah is right. Good morning, church. For those who don't know me, my name is Pastor Tim. I have been here for about 2 years now, and it's been a wonderful time. It's great to be here this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's here, all of our guests. I also want to welcome those who are joining us online and the radio. We're glad that you could join us this morning. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to study your words. Father, I ask that this morning the message is from you and not from me. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we know that you can penetrate even the hardest of hearts and that we can turn to you. Father, may it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to continue in the Life of Christ series. And for those of you who are new to this series, and for a little reminder for everyone else, the purpose of the Life of Christ series is to look at what Jesus actually said and did. To answer that age-old question, what would Jesus do? I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we live in a world where everyone has an opinion about everything. We hear pastors and leaders talking about how we should live and how our lives should be more like Christ. And we hear this person over here and we use these words over and over again. Yet we don't always understand what that means. We hear people say things like, well, Jesus wouldn't do that, or he wouldn't say that. Yet sometimes Jesus did do that and sometimes Jesus did say that. On the other hand, we have people who say, well, Jesus or the Bible says, when in fact, Jesus never said it, and neither does the Bible. There's a new level of biblical illiteracy in our world around us. We have people who claim to be Christian, but have never opened the Word of God. We have people who claim to be Christian, but live like the world does. I have learned that you can't always just trust when someone says that they're a Christian, that it means that they're actually a Christian. Never in the time of history have we had such access to the Word of God as we do today, where any and all of us can pull out our phones and find God's Word right there on it. Many of us in here even have multiple Bibles sitting on the shelves at home, but rarely open the Bible app. And an iPhone and an Android, you can go in and see which app you use the most and how much time you spend on it. How much time have you spent in the Bible there? How much time have you spent in that Bible that's sitting on your shelf, or is it covered in dust? We've heard the words, but we lack the understanding. That's why we're going through this series, to help us discover who Jesus really was, how he lived his life, where we look at his actions and his words, to help us gain a better understanding of him, to help us see how we are to treat others, to help us see how to worship him, and overall, just gain a better understanding of our Savior who paid such a high price for each one of us up on that cross. To help us be more like Christ each and every day of our lives. My prayer throughout this series is that we can move from just drinking milk to solid food. Meaning that we can learn to dive in deeper and gain a deeper understanding of who God is. Over the last couple of months in this series, we have been focusing on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this sermon is the longest recorded sermon that Jesus gave during his time on earth. It takes up all of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it's through this series that we see Jesus addressing many aspects of our lives. He opened the series with the Beatitudes and showed us no matter what we face in life, no matter what situation, we can rest in him, that we can go to him, that we can trust that God is there for us. All we have to do is seek him. Next, Jesus talks about how we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the light in our communities, to be an example to the world around us on what it means to be a follower of Christ, and boldly proclaim his name everywhere we go. To be bold in our walk. And not just with our words, but with our actions. So that when people see us, they see Christ within us. And after that, Jesus shifted some gears and he started focusing in on not just what we're doing outwardly, but looking at our hearts. He talked about how sin starts within our own hearts. He started off with an example such as murder, which I believe we can all agree murder is bad. I don't think that takes rocket science to figure out. But Jesus took it a step further and he said it wasn't just murder that was the sin, though. It was the anger within us that leads us to the point of murder. You see, anger within us that creates so much hate to the point that we want to go and murder someone, that anger is the sin in and of itself. That anger within us is the sin. The anger is the root of the sin, and we need to address it within our heart before it consumes us. And if we're honest with ourselves, often sin does not happen just overnight. Instead, it festers up within each of us, where we sit there and we dwell in areas of our lives and we just don't want to let it go. And that's why Jesus says that we're called to surrender our lives to him, to surrender our desires to our Heavenly Father, that we should work to align our hearts with God, allowing Him to transform us from the inside out. That when we go to Him, it doesn't mean that we have to be perfect in that moment, but that we trust that He works within us and transforms us. That we align our hearts with God. Next, He gave us an example of how we should think, and He used 6 different examples. And I don't mean them as they were the only things to worry about. Instead, they were there to help us model what we're supposed to do in different situations where we seek after Him. Help train our minds and see what God expects of us. So learn to think as Jesus thought as we process all these choices we face in our lives. So at the end of the day, our life's choices reflect Jesus and not just our flesh. At the end of the day, we represent Christ well in the world around us. You know, in the last 2 weeks, we saw Jesus teaching us on how to pray and how to give. We see Him teaching us the purpose of both, and that it's through our giving, that it's through our prayer that we bring to God, that we bring glory to Him. That it's through these acts that we align our lives with Christ. And if we truly dig into both of them, what we will see is that our giving and our prayer time are both acts of worship. I know often when we think of worship, we think of a Sunday morning service such as this. I mean, we do call this our worship service, do we not? We think of a worship band, we think of all of us singing together, but worship is so much more than that. Worship in its purest form is giving glory to God. Whether it's praising Him through song, bowing our knees to Him in prayer, reading God's word, it's all saying, God, You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It is putting Him where He belongs, and that is the headship of our lives. We worship through our actions and through our words. We worship with our hearts and our minds. It's something that we're called to do each and every day of our lives, not just on Sunday mornings. It's this idea of lifting His name up high, remembering who He is, and giving Him the glory for all that we have and what we do in life. I mean, God is the one who provides everything that we have in life. We're called to give Him the glory for that. Think about it. When we give Jesus instruction, when we give as Jesus instructed us to give, we're giving God the glory. When we pray as Jesus instructed us to pray, we're giving God the glory. We are making Him number one and working to align our lives with Him. This morning, as we continue throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be looking at another way that we can worship God, another way that we can tune into God. We're going to look at ways that we can align our lives with God, to seek His heart, to seek His wisdom, and place our troubles right at the feet of the cross. We're going to talk about fasting this morning. Now, for many of us here, we have heard about fasting in some form or another. A lot of times when fasting is brought up when it comes to diet and exercise, 2 things that many of us don't want to think about to this morning, is it? Yet, did you know fasting has some great benefits for your life as well? It can sharpen your mind. It can help you focus on what you need to focus on. Sometimes fasting is not just cutting all foods, but certain foods or cutting calorie intake. But fasting is also a tool that God has given us in our walk with Him. Though fasting is overlooked often within our walk with Christ, it's something that we don't give a lot of thought on. The idea of giving up food for a while does not sound like a lot of fun to many of us here. Let's be honest, we enjoy eating. It's something that we can help bring people together. It can bring comfort. It can help us relax or maybe even get that really good nap. Think of the Thanksgiving turkey. Food can do these things. Yet fasting is good for us too. We just don't give it much thought when it comes to our faith walk. I'm not sure why, other than I don't think it's taught on much. It's not something that we press into often. We hear a lot about prayer. We hear a lot about giving and serving, but fasting, that one often eludes us, often because we don't understand it. We don't understand why we should do it. So let's flip over to the text this morning, and let's see if we can't gain a better understanding. Matthew chapter 6, 16 through 18, for those who want to follow along, it says, "Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigured their faces so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly I tell you, they have their reward." Verse 17, it says, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face." Verse 18, "So that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Jesus points out here in the text that just as he did with the other text, that there is a right way and a wrong way to fast. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see many examples of fasting. We see people seeking God's guidance on what to do next. For an example, the disciples, when they were looking to name their elders and deacons and who that would be, they took the time to fast to see what God wanted them to do at that moment. Sometimes people fast because they're full of grief and sorrow. We see the people of Israel fasting at times when they're at war or when they've lost a dear loved one. They're going, "Lord, I can't take this on my own." And they're placing it right there and they're taking that time to fast. Sometimes we also, if you look over at the book of Esther, we see Esther asking Mordecai to go to the others and fast for her, to lift her up in prayers because she was about to go in front of the king. And she wanted God's protection through that. Fasting can also be used to help us humble ourselves in front of God. Such as King David, when he was called out about Bathsheba, he cried out in repentance and he fasted during that time. Sometimes we fast to help us overcome different temptations in our lives. And lastly, we may fast to express love and gratitude to God and all that he has done for our lives. Just like the Israelites would do once a year on the Day of Atonement, reminding us to be thankful for all that God has provided us for and with, reminding us that he is all we truly need. Some use fasting for the wrong reasons. Some look at fasting almost like a magical effect, that if they fast, just maybe God will listen to me a little bit more. Just maybe he will turn and do it my way. Some will use it as the Pharisees did, and to make themselves look better in front of others. You know, the Day of Atonement was the only day that the Jewish people had to fast. Yet the Pharisees made sure they fasted twice a week. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing it that often. But as Jesus pointed out in the text, they did it in such a way that brought attention to them and not God. See, it was all about what makes them look good and to make sure they got that pat on the back. They would make sure to make themselves look disheveled, make themselves appear as they were more weak from fasting so that others around them would know what they were doing. And Jesus is saying here in this text, you missed the entire point of fasting. Fasting is between you and God. Because fasting is there to help us focus in on God. You don't fast for others to pat you on the back. You fast because you want to seek God and to know and love God more, to spend time in worship with him. You fast because you want more of God in your life than what you have right now. So you fast to move your attention to God. We know there is a million and one distractions in our lives. We have families, we have our jobs. We have to get to the kids to their games or practices. We have to make sure dinner is done and ready on time. We've got laundry piling up, dishes in the dishes overflowing. You got to make sure you overlook your kids' homework. You know, back to school, everything, making sure it's all done and signed off on, you know. And if you have kids like I was for my parents, it was making sure I even had the homework tucked in the bag. I was horrible at turning in homework. But it just seems like life can become overwhelming. And we do this over and over and over again. We try to make time to pray. We try to make time to sit and read our Bibles. But we get so caught up in the routine and the distractions of life. We can get this void that starts to form. It's this God-shaped void in our lives. And the more you ignore it, the bigger it gets. because the world around us is distracting us. We start having this distance that becomes between us and God, and we just can't seem to draw closer to Him anymore. That's when we fast. It helps us press in on God. It helps us hear His voice when we can't hear it. It helps us focus on who He is. From the biblical sense, we fast through abstaining from food to the extent that you're physically able to. We can fast from a meal. We can fast for a day. Sometimes people fast for multiple days. I don't know if you're aware of this. Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness before He started His public ministry fasting. Moses fasted for 40 days before he received the Ten Commandments from God up on Mount Sinai. Now let me be clear. I am not saying you should go off today and fast for 40 days. But we should start somewhere. Now, I understand not everyone can fast from food. Sometimes there's medical things that hold us back from that. I understand that. But what can you fast from? What is something that you can give up to tune in to more of what God is trying to say in your life? What about social media? Can you take a social media fast? Take it off your phone for a few days? Can you make it a week? No Facebook, no Twitter, no Snapchat, Instagram, any of them? Can you make it? Can you leave the TV off? No movies, any of that? Can you go without radio? Drive to and from work without the radio on? What is something that causes a distraction between you and God in your life that you can cut off? It's this idea of substituting that time that we spend, either eating or in different areas, with extra time in prayer and extra time in God's word. It's taking back the time that we've been putting into other areas of our lives and using it to dive deeper in relationship with Jesus. You know, I've seen people try to fast, but they just don't eat, or they stay off of social media. They don't use it to actually dive into God's word. They don't use it for prayer time, to reach out to our Heavenly Father. It just becomes something that they go through the motions on. But the point of fasting is not just eating. It's not just to use it for a time. It's to use it for a time to feast on God's word at that moment. Let me re-say that. The point of fasting is not just not eating food, but it's to use that time to feast on God's word, to realign our lives to God and His will and hearing from Him. Because it's not just about giving up something you want, it's about having something even better in your life. So just because you forgot a meal doesn't mean you fasted. Just because you've skipped a meal doesn't mean you fasted. If you've not taken that time and substituted to spend more time with God, either in prayer or in His word, to use that time to see that God is good. The whole point of fasting is to say, God, You are better than anything else I have in my life. You are better than any food that I could have at this moment. You are better than any social media, TV, radio that I could listen to. That I want You more than I want any of those things. It's pointing to the fact that You want an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. That you're not happy with the way life has been going. You're not happy with the relationship that you have with Him. You know, I look throughout our world and I see people hungry for truth. I see people hungry for meaning in their lives. People are not happy with how things are going around them so often in their lives. Everything keeps falling apart no matter how much they work at it. You know, I see children and parents fighting and arguing in ways that they haven't before. I see relationships being torn apart, and I don't just mean on the family dynamics and the families falling apart, but even friendships falling apart. We see ourselves worrying about our jobs. We see worry after worry just destroying the world around us and finding no hope around us. I see people struggling with all kinds of addictions that just can't seem to overcome. There's this hunger and desire in our world for truth and relevance. And I see that same hunger popping up at church because people are not always feeding themselves. We are searching for the kingdom of God to come to this earth. And God is saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're struggling with your relationship with Jesus, if you're struggling in life, I want to encourage you to find a regular pattern of fasting, to set aside time to seek God during your fasting, to open your Bible and to read his word, to dive in and grow in relationship with him, to cast those distractions to the side and remember who Jesus is. To move from being dependent on things of this world, things that only feed the flesh, and work on feeding your soul. You will find peace like you've never had before. And guys, I know over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at different ways that we can worship God and how we can press in and draw near to him. And we looked at different ways that we can serve him. And the truth is, I believe most of us here want that. I want that for myself, and I want that for all of you, to have that desire. And I know also sometimes when we hear sermons like this morning, we can find ourselves almost beating ourselves up because it sounds so simple, doesn't it? We talk about just go to him and fasting, just go to him and fasting. It sounds really easy, but in reality, our lives just don't seem to come together as we imagined. It doesn't seem to always be as simple as we want it to be. Let's be honest, life is messy. We have the best of intentions and everything just ends up going sideways. I want you to know I understand that. We go to the Lord and we pray and we can feel as if he's not hearing us. We open up the Word of God and we try to read it and we can't make sense of it in that moment. I've been there. I've been in those shoes at times in my life. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I don't face trials and tribulations like all of you. But I'm here to tell you that if you're seeking God, he is waiting for you. He's never stopped speaking to you. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That is what we are talking about this morning. When life gets crazy, when you feel like you're not being heard by God or you can't hear him anymore, seek him with all your heart. Go to him in prayer, opening his words are step 1 and 2. Going to him and fasting is step 3. You see, it's in those moments that we can hear God the clearest. When we're fasting, we are cutting out the noise of the world around us. And we're focusing in saying, God, you are all I need at this moment. And he will move your heart to a greater understanding and trust in him, knowing it is his will that's being done and not yours, aligning your life with his and not moving his will to yours. Folks, it is hard not to grow in moments of fasting if you're taking the time to actually seek him, pray, and read his word. God has never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's always been there. And if you can't hear him, you need to remove the noise from life. And fasting is one of the ways that we can do that. May we remember Isaiah 55:8-9 this morning. For your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts your thoughts. Let me tell you folks this morning. That is our goal, is to align our lives and our thoughts with our Heavenly Father. And it's through fasting that we can often achieve that a lot better into a greater way. We can take comfort in that this morning, knowing that if we seek him, he knows what we don't know. And he knows what's best for our lives, and we can trust him through it all. If you don't have a regular pattern of going to God, I want to encourage you this morning to put one together. Whether it is fasting, prayer, reading God's word, do whatever you can because God will help you in more ways than you can ever imagine. He'll transform your life in ways that you've never seen before. But it requires us to take that step and to turn around because he's standing right there waiting on you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you, to get to know you better. Father, may we learn more about fasting. May we dig in. And may we use those times to grow in your word and your wisdom and knowledge and your understanding. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes through each one of us. May we remember that you've not abandoned us, that you're right there at all times. We just have to press in and listen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Praise God, we are a child of God. That we have grace and mercy through Jesus and what he did up on that cross for each one of us. May we not let fear overtake us. May we press in this week in ways we may never have pressed in before. May you all hear that still small voice of God speak into your hearts. And remember that you are loved and cherished by him. You are uniquely made in his image. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.